And there's the header from Cavani. Oh, that was all too easy.
Welcome to the Ball Gecko Podcast.
Getting forward into the area for the first time, the cross and the goal.
The show that brings the ins and the outs of the beautiful game to African fans by passionate African voices. Ball Gecko, get in the game.
What it do? Welcome to the Ball Gecko Podcast. My name is Ayola Kelechi, and as always, with me to dissect everything that's happened over the weekend is
Dissector Emeritus.
What?
Projector Professor.
What on earth is the meaning of this?
No, I had dissect and I was excited. I don't know why I dissect, it was just excited.
So and
I
decided to adopt it as a Dissector Emeritus.
Exactly. Even though some people that know the meaning of emeritus will be wondering what's wrong with
you. Do you get? Like
emeritus, not emeritus. Jesus, let me not sound so local. Like,
oh my God.
We don't do that. It's emeritus.
Emerico. Zidane.
Yeah, it's Jude Chichi Eze over here. Welcome to a wonderful weekend, brand new week. Is that the first proper week in the month of December?
I think we would not be wrong if we are saying
the first full week in the month of December. So yes, welcome to the first full week in the month of December. And of course, expect this week to come along with lots of excitement right here on the Ball Gecko Podcast.
Absolutely. All right, let's start from two tales of Chelsea. Chelsea men, or let's start with the better one, of course. Good news before bad news. Chelsea women won
good
the
news,
FA Cup.
Bad
yeah, good news before bad news. Chelsea women won the FA Cup against Arsenal. Another impressive display. I mean, it's the total three domestic cups that they've won now this last season. And that's another incredible achievement for them.
Yeah,
of course, Frank Kirby, who was 20th in the Ballon d'Or ranking, scored again in another final. But yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Now you're reacting to the way some of us are. Let's not go back to that. Emma Hayes, she's doing an absolute astute job with Chelsea ladies and Chelsea women. And pretty wonderful season they had last year. And it's looking like they're not dropping the ball. We see how they have been doing so well in the Champions League. We've seen how they are doing so well in the league. And also the cup, I mean, proving that they are the best team in the land by winning that one.
Actually,
well, absolutely wonderful one. I think they should still remain top team in England, like dominate, exert their dominance, and without anybody really getting anything for say, 3-4 more years before maybe we could see someone else overthrow them.
Yeah. All right, so from good to bad, obviously, men will disgrace you once in a while. Chelsea,
men will embarrass you.
Chelsea's men's squad, the men's team, lost to West Ham this weekend. 3-2. Did you see Masuaku's goal?
Beauty.
I mean, beauty or incredible. It just reminds you of Dembaba's goal against Chelsea as well.
I don't know if I can remember the Dembaba's goal.
The one that just curved and missed everybody.
I think I remember that goal. Yes. I do remember that goal.
Because there's no way, unless he's lying, that he's going to tell us that he meant to do that.
The difference is Masuaku actually intended to do that.
There's no way.
No. Are you telling me? Masuaku?
Yeah.
Yesterday's goal, the winner against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding?
No.
He intended to
there's
do
no
that.
Way.
No. If you watch the replay of that goal again, you will see his intention was to pass or cross. And then he spotted the keeper off his line. In fact, it was until he shot I actually saw there was really a space between the bar and
Mendy.
And there's no how you would tell me. That was not an unintentional shot. It wasn't. It wasn't a cross. It was a shot.
It looked like a cross.
That was a shot with the outside foot.
It looked like a cross.
If anybody that plays football and saw that goal, you know that that's a shot with the outside foot. You don't make outside foot shots when you intend
to pass.
That's
what I'm saying. It was meant to be a cross, but off balance, it turned into a shot. Just like Tai Tai was... I'm going way back now. I'm showing my age. But there's a goal Tai Tai scored against Ukraine.
It's for those who don't know that will be bothered.
There's a goal that Tai Tai scored against Ukraine at the Under-20 World Cup.
Okay.
Something very similar. He tried to cross, but the ball came out the outside of his foot and deceived everybody.
No, thing is, we've seen those who tried to...
It was literally very similar.
We've seen those who tried to cross. Masuaku didn't intend crossing. after he saw the space, he shot. He just shot. That's the way I see it. I think you need to really watch
it
again.
I've seen it several times and
watch it over and over again.
We're going to have to agree to disagree.
Yeah, from another angle of the camera, you would see his eye, what do they call it? Where, say his eye direction. He saw it and he took his chance. And let's just say it's one of those times where player brilliance comes to play. And I mean, that was absolutely brilliant. I literally had my hands on my head, my mouth wide open. And I was looking around, everybody around me, nobody could say anything.
Because they were all Chelsea fans on the other side.
The truth is that even the Chelsea fans were wild. they were like, well deserved. I mean, and it also comes down to, let's say, Moyes, because that's some tactical genius right there. West Ham were playing like they didn't need that game. And then Moyes started rushing by the 85th minute. The game, yeah? And you're wondering, why is he playing like this? And somehow it paid off after all.
But perhaps this is what they tried to do against City. And
that's also what I realized. This is not the first time they are trying this thing. It looks like it's something they now do a lot in most of their games. But the thing is, sometimes it might come back to haunt you, because I mean, you should be trying to get something early on in the game, not late into the game. It works sometimes, some other times it just doesn't work.
And this means for Chelsea, of course, that they lose top spot on the table. And I have to say, this makes me happy, because if you're a proper follower of the Borgeko podcast, then you're probably listening on Wednesdays and you hear one very annoying voice.
That man, Abi,
who is a Chelsea fan. And he just keeps bragging, and it's nice to see them brought back down to earth. So I can't wait for Wednesday.
When Arsenal take them down more.
I can't even wait for Wednesday.
When West Ham also take them down. They will not
when Myra maybe comes back into the studio, and I want to hear what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Because I think that's going to be
and
really
United
interesting.
United won this week, so he does not have any.
United, Naz, if you're listening to me, this is your week. If you drop the ball this week, then I don't know what to say, man.
This is your week, man, because, wow. I mean, this is the perfect time, the perfect time to do it. And it's not what we expected.
It's not.
Hey there! BG Gems are now Gecko Coins. Same value for the same activity. Get active on BallGecko.com to start racking up your Gecko Coins.
Alright, for United, the first win of the Ragnik Empire. And it was interesting. It was very interesting. Interesting things happened. United winning the ball, high up the
was
pitch.
Wasn't really what we expected.
Yeah, I mean, for the first game, it was. I mean, he came.
I'm talking about 1-0 that had to come
by through Fred.
Struggle
through Fred. Just say through Fred.
No, don't do that. That man is Brazilian. He has proven he's from the League of Brazil.
Really, he has.
Yes.
I pity
don't
you.
Do that to Fred.
I pity you.
Don't do that.
But it must be so satisfying for him to finally see to the people who have been coming for him, who have been exactly like just
put your eye there. What other celebration again? Aside the one of you put your hand behind your ears, which other okay, you
the
put
one,
your lips on your hand
on
your lips,
lips yeah, your finger,
your finger on your lips.
Yeah.
Which other one again?
I think that's it.
Show
them your
number.
I think
you shot them, you shot down and shot your eye. More like I can't see what you guys are doing. I can't see you guys. I don't care if you're there, you know. He has been able to do all three with
one goal. It's not easy. It's called the winner in the game. It's not easy. And it's interesting to see that Rani, he came in and he said United concede 2 goals almost per game, and that's untenable. It's not something that should be. And
he,
in his first game, he was able
to get a clean sheet. I mean, that's in my United get a clean sheet.
Let's just thank God for life.
Wow. What? You know, it's now I'm realizing it. Carrick tried that with the Champions League, but then in the Premier League he came and still conceded
to Chelsea.
Yeah. But he still conceded. That's the point. He still conceded. Conceded against Arsenal. Conceded 2 against Arsenal. Conceded 1 against Chelsea. And you think of only they had been conceding. In fact, only so we cannot remember. So let's just keep that on our side. And first game, a clean sheet and a win. Yeah, many like myself would say we would have thought Man would have gone out to score more goals, but somehow it wasn't. But yeah, we thank God for win and move on from there.
A win and a clean sheet is a rare occurrence for Manchester United this season, and they must be happy with what they've done. Liverpool last minute Divock Origi again. Divock Origi. Just every time it looks like Liverpool underrated. Are not going to be...
This man is underrated.
Every time it looks like Liverpool are not going to be able to break through a really stubborn defence, Origi just pops up with the... just some goal of any kind.
Origi is... I don't know. I don't know whether I should call him a legend. Maybe no reach, but...
Definitely a club icon. Because, I mean, at this point...
Origi is somebody that... Liverpool fans should never look down on at any point, because this man has proven over and over and over again that he's always there to rescue them when they need him the most.
But they will just never start him.
But they, maybe he's just know that
that's his role in the team.
His role in the team is that super sub, and the good thing is he does the work as he should be
when he's called upon. Newcastle finally.
Like Thanksgiving, finally. I saw the chairman rejoicing, and I was like, they even gave a kiss, like him and his wife, a kiss at the stadium right
it's
there.
It's worth
like,
it.
Oh wow!
Because finally they have a win in the Premier League, and that moves them up from 20th to 19th.
Such progress. I mean, progress. At least we're recording such progress, unlike some places where no progress is recorded at all. The only progress that is recorded is regress. Like, they promise progress and then you're not progressing. Yeah, like, you're progressing backwards.
Well, to be fair, I was going to mention Greta first, but they haven't promised anybody anything. They've been properly...
Although they are green, like the people who promised somebody something. You know?
May God forgive you. Greta for the Bundesliga, 13 losses and 1 draw, 7-1 loss this time around. Patrick Schick with 4 goals in 30 minutes.
Yep. It's just bonanza season in the Bundesliga or Greta Fort. If they are doing bonanza season and you decide not to get your own bonanza,
I mean,
can you imagine
being that one team who drew with them?
Yeah.
Who drew against Greta Fort?
I mean, who was that? I'm trying to remember right now. I think it's one of the lowly sides. So it shouldn't be a big deal. Shouldn't be a big deal. Greta Fort might still get their first win, but the question is, it's already late for them. They're getting relegated either as 17th or 18th, one way or the other. They know if you do 16th,
come on, they're only 12 points.
Yeah. They know if you do 16, Ayola. Don't give them hope. They might get a win, they might get more draws, but they know if you do past 16 for the league this season, they are goners. That's what they are.
And in more of a shock result, Borussia Mönchengladbach, also in the Bundesliga, losing at home 6-0 to Freiburg. And if you remember properly, Borussia Mönchengladbach are the ones who beat Bayern Munich 5-0 in the DFB Pokal.
They're the ones who their Twitter handle...
Breakfast must go round.
Their Twitter handle is always loud. And this time around... What,
they couldn't say anything. 6-0, all 6 goals in the first half as well.
Yeah. And you would wonder, what went wrong? What were they doing?
I mean,
and
it seems like...
And I'll answer you, I don't know. I'm not their coach.
It seems like
player.
It was the coach felt he had made a serious tactical blunder, because as at 30 minutes, they had already made 2 changes. So that's... he just gave up on, like, yeah, you know what? This is not working.
This is not working at all. And, well, I think they'll pick up. They're one of the big sides in the league.
Yeah, I think it's just a one-off.
Yeah, just a one-off. The kind of one-off that will make you go home. And you know how in the Bible they'll say, and they tore their sackcloths. No. And they tore their cloths and put on sackcloths. For like 1 month and put ash on top of
them. Exactly.
And rolled in the mud. Uh-huh, that's what Leverkusen will do. Maybe when they do that this week, they'll come back next week and come and win 3-0.
Leipzig, after a 3rd successive loss, they finally decided to let go of Jesse March. They are 11th on the table, which is far, far, far below what anybody really would have expected from RB Leipzig. And I think that is not how we saw Jesse March ending up at RB Leipzig, because at other places, as when he was coming from Salzburg, people said, oh, you know what, this is a talented manager, this is someone who knows the brand, who quote unquote has the DNA of the club. But the DNA is not bringing results.
That DNA of the club, we'll soon come back to Russia. Leipzig 11th by this time in the season, not really something you'd expect. You'd expect them to be higher, at least
much
top
higher.
Six,
I mean, fighting for the Champions League at least.
No, the top six at least. Fighting for the Champions League plus. And here they are, 11th, not even in top 10. Mm. And yeah. Let's say for Jesse, it's just one of those times. We've seen it with many managers where they make a move, it looks like they're going to succeed so well. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think almost every manager in football, all of them have had breakfast. Some have had lunch. Some have had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So,
and some people, they are just frying their egg right now.
So
waiting to serve it to them.
So it's something that would always go around. It works one place, the other place, they are serving you a meal that you don't want. So, yeah, it's just that for him. I think he needs to take a rest and then come back and come and prove to people the reason he was that man Leipzig actually went for in the first place. I think that's what he needs to do.
Definitely. And the biggest game of the league season... it's the biggest game of the Bundesliga league season anyways, but it was the biggest game of this weekend. And according to Jude Bellingham, it was a disgrace.
Yeah. And...
Did you see the handball incident?
I didn't see the game. I was just following the scores. And next thing I knew was... I was seeing words flying here and there. And then I got thinking, could this really... Because it wasn't just Bellingham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were quite a number of people who complained about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Haaland too mentioned some things about the questionable calls the referee made. And I'm wondering, at this point, should we be talking about how these players are saying these things? Or we should actually be taking a look at that game to actually see what the players say?
It could be both. It could be both, because what they've said are very serious things. According to what Jude Bellingham said, off quote, you can't put a referee who has been...
And yeah, that's even true. Because of his words, I wanted to now go and check on the referee. I think I'll do that later.
Yeah, he has.
He was...
He said, you can't put a referee who has been in a match-fixing scandal, who has match-fixed before.
He was in a match-fixing...
And he was, in 2004 to 2005. So and then he was suspended in 2006, and then he came back into the game after that. And he was charged with fixing matches for mafias, delaying games, and making some questionable calls. Mm. And he was found guilty on those charges and suspended for a while.
Because that's what I was telling myself. If Bellingham could say this, I really need to go and read up on that referee. And here I am. I mean, all the deaths coming
Everything
up.
He said was true.
All the deaths coming up. And it really leaves you wondering.
How did
what
someone...
What really went
When it's
down.
Not Nigerian politics.
Where, what really went... No. Like, it really leaves you wondering if he could make such questionable calls that Bellingham could throw that much caution to the wind, then I think the right thing to do is, as much as you're talking about how the players should be polite
comport
towards
themselves.
The referees
There's
and
no
everything.
Way you can comport yourself when you feel cheated.
I think
when
the worst thing right now would be the fact that that game is not being investigated. I think that's the worst thing.
To be honest, I don't think there's much that can be done unless there's something more concrete than a few questionable calls. Because questionable calls in football happen all the time. And this might be seen as just another game where they were incredibly questionable.
I don't know.
Calls.
I just feel it's too much. It's too much for a game of this magnitude.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
that's
too
the point.
Much it's, for a game of this
it's
magnitude
literally
to
the,
be swept
showpiece,
under the carpet.
The showpiece of the German Bundesliga for
it's
the
too
season.
Too much. Too much. Too much. Really too much. And at the end of the day, Bayern have the 3 points to smile about. Haaland finally scored again.
Would have. Yeah, Haaland scored. Lewandowski scored too.
And yeah.
That's just how life is.
Interestingly, the game gave us a spectacle, but
it did.
Seemed like the drama is still in the spotlight after all.
Unfortunately, and the referee has again become the center of attraction. All right, in La Liga, Real Madrid are now 8 points clear of Sevilla.
Let's
who are
talk
in second
about
place.
The man who said they will not lose.
Yes. In Xavi's first press conference, he said, "This is Barcelona. We cannot lose or draw. They drew. Nobody really picked up on
anything,
it. And now they've lost at home."
I remember watching that press conference and I kept saying, Xavi,
like, why would you do this to
yourself?
Why would you put yourself under
no
that kind
do
of
this thing? No,
that
do
kind of pressure.
And here we are.
He didn't
and,
listen to you.
And
clearly.
Very soon it will be there'll be another defeat and people will start digging that thing up very well. Because you know the main people that will dig it up have not yet found it.
There is no time yet. Once Barcelona lose against Bayern Munich,
if they
lose against Bayern,
that's even
and they get knocked out of the Champions League, that is going to be in front of everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere.
That quote,
that
line,
that particular quote.
We would
is going
not
to be in front
lose
of
or draw. We are Barcelona. It will be everywhere. I pity for him because it's really 30 days coming, 30 days ahead. because I don't know why you come to Barcelona and come at me doing even the Qatar where you did before. Did you do invincible there? No, they were still seeing you. You are not doing, you can't see me. You still lost and you came to Barca that Real Betis will see and your eye will shine. At Celta Vigo, we see Barca and do like they have drank Ogogoro. That's who you came to see. We will not lose or draw. Well, the first one has happened this weekend and Barca is sitting very comfortably on 7th.
While Real Betis, of course, are in 3rd position, displacing Atleti, displacing Real Sociedad.
Sociedad are mad, I said it, and I'm not surprised that their madness have caught up with them. For Atletico Madrid, those ones are double mad. Because
they're extra double mad because they lost at home to Mallorca.
How a game that they were winning, they let it get away from them. Like,
again,
they are people mad.
When people usually do these things and they think that there's no karma, Atletico Madrid were winning games, collecting points in the dying stages of games, scoring goals in 90 plus something, 87, 89.
At least those ones you say they really fought. But now, fought and then the better.
Look at what is happening to them now.
Let me not say they fought and the better team won, because it's the same thing that will apply here.
Yes,
let me put it this way. They were just, they got fortunate.
And now the fortune is being collected back.
I don't even
back.
Know how to put it. I just want to put it in a way it cannot be applied to now, because this one I want to categorically say it's due to their stupidity, because they are very mad.
It was always due to the other team's stupidity as well. Russia said that we're leading them with 2 goals and they considered a penalty and considered another goal.
In fact, let's go talk about Madrid, who won, I beg. This
so is, happy. 80th minute, Mallorca scored the equalizer. 90 plus one, they scored the winner. Delicious stuff. Real Madrid, of course, Vinicius again with another goal.
Vinicius
absolutely
is
on fire.
You know, at the beginning of the season, when this started, I was like, is he not Vinicius?
He will do his normal 4 goals.
I didn't know that Baba has gone to collect Ronaldo's jazz. Like, he plays so...
I think it's the confidence.
It's beautiful to watch. And it's nice. Yesterday, I checked the top scorers chart in Spain, and Benzema was leading. The second person is Vinicius. And then you ask yourself, why wouldn't Madrid be at the top of the table? Where it's all their players
have
the most
people
the
scoring,
most
goals
scoring players.
They scored
in
more
the
goals than PSG. 37 goals, PSG has scored 36.
Exactly. The most scoring players in the league. Benzema himself also the most assists in the league so far
as well.
And you're asking yourself, who deserves? Is this Sociedad that should be at the top of the table? No, it's Madrid. They are where they deserve. And it would be wonderful to see them finish up in that position and don't let it go to any other person.
Well, Sevilla the closest to them, 1-0 win over Villarreal. And I think Unai Emery should start counting his days at Villarreal. They couldn't even manage to balance things out. It's now 3 games won, 7 draws and 5 defeats.
And you know the funny,
when it could have been 4-7-4.
You know the funny thing? You know the funny thing? You know why this would be funny? Unai is getting pushed down to the Europa League.
And he's going to win it again.
He's getting pushed down to the Europa League. And he's doing so badly in the league. And there was the conversation of Newcastle coming for him earlier in the season. And this is the point where it's looking like maybe he should have taken that job.
Or maybe Newcastle were lucky not to have continued with the process.
Why would you say?
Because, I mean, look at how like his current team is doing at the moment.
Okay, that's one way to look at it. I don't think I looked at it that way. But then again, I mean, it's totally different teams. It might have been different for him at Newcastle.
But
to be honest,
very respectful to Newcastle,
it would have been more difficult, actually.
They have worse players. With all due respect.
And they have tougher teams
to play against
than Villarreal would have.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they are like, averagely, 15 tougher teams than Newcastle in the Premier League. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
do you think I'm talking about Big Six?
Meanwhile, you look at Villarreal and say, okay, they should be able to beat these guys.
They are like Newcastle tougher teams to beat in the Premier League. So yeah, maybe it was a good decision in
nature. Oh my goodness gracious.
Hello everybody, what's going on? It's your boy Shea Wolo, aka Sucre Papito, and you're listening to the Bug Gecko Podcast. Enjoy.
Right, so something incredible happened in the Serie A this weekend. Do you know what an Olimpico is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, can you just enlighten our listeners to what an Olympico is?
Olympico is the game between...
Not the Olympic derby draw. An Olympico, like in football terms, an Olympico. An Olympico means when someone scores directly from a corner kick.
Oh, that. It has a name.
Yeah, it has a name. Yeah. Interesting. It's called the Olympico.
We learn everything.
And this weekend in Serie A, we saw not one, but two Olympicos. First, Inter Milan against Roma. We'll come back to that and the result of that.
And the result of that. and the man behind the result of that.
We saw Hakan Calhanoglu score an Olympico for Inter Milan against Roma, straight from the corner kick into Rui Patricio's legs. And the next day, Juan Cuadrado for Juventus, who are now into the top five. I mean, come back to that again.
We'll also come back to that. We are cursing.
We saw them. Cuadrado score another corner kick. And what are the odds of that? Of scoring two corner kicks in the same game week?
Crazy stuff. And now you said it, I would go look for the highlights of that. Mm. I just know about the results of these games. I didn't know this is how these goals came about. I mean, even I think betting options, you never see things like that.
Scoring directly from a corner. It's probably like 100 odds.
You say what? What? That was like 1,000 odds. I mean, because you get to see scoring by header, scoring by shot, scoring from penalty, scoring by free kick. And what else again? What else?
Because I think that's everything.
Maybe I think you might some you might see scoring with an own goal. Well, I think some have that option. And then obviously nobody would have scoring from. How? I mean, these are things we did only when we were playing game, and these are the old games.
Like old games that had glitches.
Not the new games now, because who born you to score from corner in the new games now? And you want to try it in real life football? Wow, I really need to go see those goals.
Very deep stuff. All right, so in the actual results, Roma 3-0 loss. 3-0. 3-0 at home to Inter Milan. And after the game, Mourinho was quoted as saying that he sets the taxes. That's why he's paid so much. He's a football manager. And that's why journalists don't get to earn so much, because they are just journalists.
Yeah.
Are these the words of Mourinho, a pained man?
Mourinho being rude once again.
Usually we don't get to see full blown Mourinho until like I said last week, the second season or the third season when things start to go.
But this
really
one is
bad.
Happening this season, and it's leaving this sad taste in my mouth, because I remember at
the beginning of the season, he was very very vocal about his praise for Italian press. He said in England they just want to discuss problems, but in Italy they actually respect the coaches and so on. So it's been 16 game weeks and everything has changed. Now the journalists are the problem of Jose Mourinho.
Well, like I was saying earlier, I want to see Mo's run right now is leaving a sad taste in my mouth, because as much as I love the man, I need to be objective in my criticism, and it's honestly time Roma starts considering, was it right to bring this man? Because it's not working. And the reason I say it's not working is because I don't think it's going to get better than what it is right now. They will just keep shuttling between.
Right now.
They will keep shuttling between one win, two defeats, whereby it looks like you're going forward and you're taking two steps backward. That's just what I see it as.
They've taken two literal steps backward from the table. They were sixth at the beginning of the game week. Now they are eight. One point above Bologna. Same points with Lazio.
And this is the side that we are top of the table at the beginning of the season. And I don't know. Mourinho really needs to sit up, because as much as I love him, if I were in a position to fire him right now, I would do that.
And does it seem like some of his reactions are as a result of meltdown?
We've known Mourinho always. When you come at him, I don't want to use the word defensive, because I mean let me just not use that word. When you come at Mourinho, he always has something to throw at you in a bid to take the attention of the fact that that thing happened, that the defeat happened.
3-0 defeat.
And I think it's just one of those types again. Classic Mourinho.
Alright, so in AC Milan back to the top of the table. Inter now second, and this is all as a result of Napoli's 3-2 loss against Atalanta, at home to Atalanta.
We said it. We said it. That Napoli had to be more serious. How did they go from winning this game to losing it? Mm. How?
Literally within the blink of an eye.
How? How did they do that? Like, shouldn't have been for no reason. And yeah, they deserve it at this point. My only sadness is the fact that Osimhen left the team that was first position and will now come back to come and start.
They're not even second, they're third on the table.
It's just sad. It's just sad. But they had it coming.
So at this point, would you say that Atalanta are in the title race along with Inter, Napoli and AC Milan?
Yeah, obviously. Obviously, you can't rule anybody out. Even Juve right now, they are mad. They've managed to come up to
speed. To be honest, they are 7 points away from fourth place. So I think they still have quite a bit of catching up to do.
Catching up.
Seven points is a lot. That's from fourth place, not even from...
You forget that Inter played catch up with Napoli, right? You forget.
I don't think it was as much as
AC, we are level apart with Napoli. Inter played catch up and they caught up and they've caught and overtaken, you know. They've caught and overtaken. There's some, when I was in secondary school, there's this thing we used to call Cantab. Cantab is a term for when they are doing the marathon races. When somebody goes round the leader of the race goes round the field and now meets the last person, and that way you're now eliminated. We call it Cantab. So yeah, they've Cantab them. I mean, that wasn't even the past tense. We just knew Cantab. I don't know if we developed the past tense for it. And they've done that. So right now you can't say Juve are not in the race, because these other guys are at the top of the table. Now pressure is on them.
And they are very far from being invincible.
Any slip-ups, obviously you just be out of that position.
All right. So finally, Ligue 1, PSG. Again, two straight draws. Another draw against RC Lens. I think that's probably the biggest thing that happened in the weekend. And it's beginning to look not a lot like Christmas. It's beginning to look a lot like PSG are going to fumble this.
At the beginning of that game, I kept saying, PSG win this, PSG win this.
You always think that at the beginning of PSG games.
Yes.
Of all PSG games.
Yes, because they should win it. Mm. And I really did think, I think one of the reasons I said they would win this is because I thought the last match was just
a one-off.
And after this game, another draw, I'm now beginning to ask myself, it made me, after the game finished, I went to look at the table, the Ligue 1 table, and I saw, 12 points gap and everything. And it struck me that, see, this thing is not too much.
It's not?
It's not. For somebody who is joking, it's not too much. We just saw it with Napoli.
Come on, Napoli was literally...
Napoli. We just saw it with them. It's not too much. All it takes is for PSG to snooze like 3-4 more times and boom.
3-4 more times is a lot. Like, this is 3-4 more and on reply times.
Their
opponents have to be like on point. And it's not like their opponents are Manchester City or something.
It's not too much. Mm. PSG not winning the league this season would even make me happier. Reason? Because I would have to say the other goats did not win. The Ogufe, the one they call Ogufe, he didn't win. But it also break my heart that Pochettino would fumble such
a big bag.
Big job like that.
Well, according to Mbappe, he says that...
It's not be funny, but the truth is that it's going to happen if it continues like this. And I am here to see it happen. Mbappe will leave and go and win the league with Madrid.
No, but according to Mbappe, he says the players also need to find a way to make the tactics work, because... He's saying, okay, we have Messi, we have me, we have Neymar, but it just seems like that synergy is not quite there yet.
And that brings us back to, it's posh, the man for this team. Mm. It's posh.
But I mean, he's been able to engineer synergies with other players of much less quality. So why not with Mbappe and Neymar?
Things are different. He didn't manage superstars players. At best, he had, do we say, just one and two at Tottenham. Mm. Okay, maybe when he had Bale, two, say three at Tottenham. And I think that's just it. He didn't really manage that much quality of players, where you have more than eight players being grade A footballers, grade A superstars. And it makes us wonder.
I don't think it's fair to say that he didn't manage many grade A footballers, because even though they weren't grade A when they came in, at least when he left or when they left him, they were definitely grade A. Talk about people like Kyle Walker,
that's the difference. The difference is you made them grade A. This one you're meeting grade A you didn't meet. Now the understanding is not there. The ones you made grade A players, there's an understanding, there's a level of my manager, I could do it. My boss, my yoga. But this you're literally calling this guy chief, how far now? Come here, you go play this side today. You understand?
Like, I get what you mean. But I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think they made, you wouldn't say Harry Kane got on with Dele Alli because they both like Pochettino. They got on because they had like an understanding on
the
pitch.
The point is, it's just not, whatever happened at Tottenham, it's just not working at PSG for Pochettino. Right. He's struggling with
it. It depends on what you would define as not working, because even with the two draws, with the poor form, they are miles ahead of everybody on the table.
And I say
they are in the second round of the Champions League.
If it continues like this, they'll no longer be miles ahead of everybody. It's okay.
Well, I don't know. I think they would still eventually have enough to, I mean, can you imagine if they sack him right now?
Obviously,
while being 12
be
points,
too,
12 points at top of the table.
That would be too stupid. They need to flop it first of all to even consider that. So that would be too stupid.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Ball Gecko podcast. As always, we've tried to make this as fun as possible. We hope you had a great time, because we definitely did. If you'd like to say anything to us, you can reach us at www.ballgecko.com. You should check it out. The app is coming soon. That is something you should definitely be excited about. You can also reach us on social media at @BallGecko on all social media platforms, apart from Twitter, which is @Ball_Gecko. Thank you so much for listening, and see you later.
That was Ball Gecko Podcast. For more content, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at @BallGecko. Also, check out our website at www.ballgecko.com.